Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app, just favorite WILK News Radio. You got the rewind feature, you can get the podcast there, you can go back and listen to yesterday's show if you want to do that. It's a great little thing to have. Plus, it seamlessly plays with your CarPlay, so you can get that if digital bliss coming through your car radio if you have trouble in and out of our area through the mountains. I know how it is. Up by me, I'm on the far end of our reaches as well. So I normally listen to the app. You can also get us anywhere you get your favorite podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcast, anywhere. Just search for Rob O'Donnell Show and iHeartRadio and your smart speakers. Just ask it to play WILK News Radio and you'll get us. It is 308, 58 degrees on this Tuesday, October 14th, 2025. We are here to discuss today's news. It's just interesting times. It truly is. And we're going to get to this individual that pled guilty today because that was a surprise, rapidly surprise development in that case. And the governor held a press conference today. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But earlier today on social media, basically as an advisory, because I know a lot of people on area have families that are serving in our military and were worried about the shutdown, as we were. You know, I had a discussion with my kids earlier that if, you know, the pay did not get into their accounts, you know, we would see what we needed to do. Thankfully, both of them were okay and didn't really need any short-term help. Plus, USAA and the Navy Federal and a couple things are providing zero interest loans for the shutdown as well. So I posted today that both my active duty military children received their pay today. Just as an advisory, nothing, just to say, hey, you know, let the people know. I think it's newsworthy because the big discussion was, you know, not only not paying our federal workers, but not paying our military, our active duty military. So I posted that both my active duty military children received their pay today, promises made, promises kept. That's all I posted. I guess someone in our area, and I won't say their name, but someone in our area who works for the National Park Service, and there's only one here, so I would imagine it's Steamtown, took offense to that and said, well, the National Park workers weren't paid today, so big deal about your active duty military. We're essential, they're not. So here's someone who works, I would assume, for our local National Park Service, who is not getting paid. And listen, that sucks. I get it. No one that works for the federal government and not receiving a paycheck is I don't wish it all and on any of them. The government shutdown is what it is. There's a clean resolution to pay them that the Senate Democrats will not pass because they want to hold it hostage for their pet projects, which I posted a couple of them today. And they want to renegotiate the enhanced premium tax credits under the Affordable Care Act that were temporarily instituted because of COVID, and they want to use the budget as leverage. And the Republicans aren't having that, and that's why you have a shutdown. There's a clean resolution that the Senate could pass today so every federal worker could get paid. But I found it interesting that a local National Park Service, and listen, it sucks if they're not getting paid. I get it. I fight for you as much as I fight for anyone else. But to say that you're essential and our active duty military is not was pretty comical at the most. But people believe that. And listen, I get it. You didn't get a paycheck. What about me comes to mind, and you're either jealous or upset that maybe the active duty military got a little preferential treatment. But I don't think most people will agree that our active duty military out there serving is a little more essential than, let's say, our National Park Service, which are great entities, especially our local ones here. So that's how the morning started. And speaking of that, I also posted a video of House leadership, Republican leadership, gave a listing of some of the things that the Democrats want to put in their continuing resolution to open up the government. So yeah, I'm not really going to dive into that here, but you can go see that on my Facebook and check it out and make your own decisions one way or another. More for our areas, this Pennsylvania man who pled guilty in the arson attack of the governor's mansion while the Shapiro family slept. Governor Josh Shapiro and his wife had an emotional press conference today. And let me, if you have ever been the victim of a burglary, if someone, a stranger, has ever broken into your personal space, be it your vehicle, breaking into your vehicle in your driveway, being in your house especially, it's happened to me. And it's something that makes you feel violated. Someone invaded your personal space. Someone came into a place that it's your safe haven. It's our safe haven, our homes. Could you imagine someone coming into that personal space and trying to kill you? And that's what happened here. And you could see an emotional Governor Shapiro and an emotional his wife. And I take it as genuine. A lot of people said that it was crocodile tears for performance reasons. I don't think so, because listen, when I lived on Long Island, my car was broken into right in my driveway, and I felt violated. It was a violation of my personal space, and our vehicles are that personal space, which is why it extends, you know, our home to our vehicles and a lot of laws here in Pennsylvania. Thankfully, they took my cell phone, which we were able to track, and within 3 days, able to catch them. Again, that violation, though, and the change of the way we did things and locked our cars and our homes changed after that. I couldn't imagine someone trying to come into your house and trying to kill you, how that feels. And they said it's an ongoing process. There's good days and bad days. But you have to realize, you know, he was sleeping with his wife and children in that home. Someone broke into their home, be it the governor's mansion. It's the people's home, but it's their home at the moment. It's their personal space. They just had a religious gathering that night. They were asleep after that celebration and are woken up by state troopers saying that the house is on fire. Someone set your house on fire. Someone tried to kill you. And this person, based on statements, exactly that, wanted to kill them. So I understand the emotional toll that takes, because you would think the governor's mansion, protected by our Pennsylvania State Police, surveillance and everything else, would be that safe haven. And it wasn't. It wasn't that night. And you can imagine how the rest of us feel. You know, how vulnerable are we in our safe places, in our places, our home, where we are at our most vulnerable. So I take him as 100% genuine, honest, because, again, no one's tried to kill me, but they've broken into my personal space, and you do feel violated. I've dealt with crime victims to where people broke into their homes and robbed them while they were there, or assaulted them and murdered them. And it is no doubt very traumatic. It's a traumatic experience that you will never fully get over. You'll learn to live with it, but you never fully get over it. So he was emotional, and I take it at its genuine value today, because I've seen people in that very situation act that very same way. So as far as the naysayers out there, unless you've ever been in that position and your family's been in that position and you've been worried not only of your own personal safety, but your children and your wife's safety, it changes you. It changes how you look at things, and I truly believe that trauma to be genuine. So he did give a press conference on that. But this man who scaled the iron security fence, and there is video footage out now after this plea that has been released that you could see on social media that shows, you know, him setting this house on fire, breaking in. But he scaled the iron security fence in the middle of the night, eluded police, used beer bottles filled with gasoline to ignite the occupied Pennsylvania governor's mansion. He pled guilty today to attempted murder, terrorism, 22 counts of arson, aggravated arson, burglary, aggravated assault of Governor Josh Shapiro, 21 counts of reckless endangerment and loitering in that April 13th attack. That is a slew of charges. And he pled guilty to everything. And also caused millions of dollars in damage in this state-owned brick building. Now, Cody Ballmer, 38, under the plea deal, he will be sentenced between 25 and 50 years in prison. Again, the governor and members of his family had to be awakened and evacuated. No one was injured, thankfully, but the multiple endangerment charges reflect the number of people in the residence at the time, including the governor's family, guests, and the state troopers. You have to realize, these state troopers put their life on the line running into a burning building to evacuate the governor and his guests and his family. The fire was set hours after they celebrated the Jewish holiday of Passover with Seder in the residence. If you look at some of the pictures out there, you could see some of the remnants of them celebrating Passover and Seder burnt in the residence dining area. Prosecutors played video clips to show the Molotov cocktail going off and the figure inside and outside the residence. Judge Deborah Curcillo called the video horrific and very frightening. These videos are now public. They're out there on the internet. When I get a chance, I'll post them on my social media as well. But it just goes to show how violent and how dedicated this criminal, this psychopath was. Bomber told police he planned to beat Shapiro with a small sledgehammer if he had encountered him. After breaking into the building, according to court documents, Ballmer turned himself in the next afternoon to face the charges of attempted homicide, terrorism, aggravated arson, and aggravated assault, and pled guilty to all those charges. And again, 25 to 50 years in prison is what he's facing. Police say he broke in through the southern wing of the residence into a room often used to entertain crowds or display art. Investigators recovered the two broken glass beer bottles containing the gasoline. Fire charred the walls, tables, buffet serving stations, plates, the piano, window panes, bricks around the doors, windows were also damaged. You know, he talked about violence and political violence, and he didn't make it partisan at all. He didn't make it partisan at all. This was someone who was pro-Palestinian, who was attacking the governor because of his faith. Shapiro's Jewish faith in the attack during Passover weekend raised questions about Ballmer's motive, but Ballmer told the Associated Press in a May letter from jail. This suspect wrote the Associated Press from jail, and he said that it had not been a factor in his decision. He could be Jewish, Muslim, or a purple people eater, for all I care, as long as he leaves me and mine alone, Ballmer wrote. Well, what does he mean by me and mine? He was a pro-Palestinian individual. From what his family said, you know, did have mental issues in the past. He said in a brief June 9 video interview from Camp Hill State Prison that he did think beforehand about whether children might be injured. Does anyone ever consider children? Ballmer said in June. It doesn't seem that way. I sure as hell did. And I'm glad no one got hurt. Asked why he felt Shapiro had somehow done him wrong. Ballmer replied, I'm not going to answer that. His mother said that days after his arrest that she tried to get him assistance for mental health issues, but nobody would help. Court proceedings had been delayed while he received mental health treatment, his lawyer had said. At the court hearing a few days after the fire, Ballmer told the judge he was unemployed welder with no income or savings and a lot of children. The governor's residence, built in 1968, did not have sprinklers, and work to fix the damage and bolster its security features are continuing in progress now. So it's great that he pled guilty, and there's some sort of closure for the governor and his family. You could see visibly that this was a severely traumatic issue with them. And again, I cannot stress enough, politically we might be on different sides of the spectrum as far as the governor and myself, but his trauma here is genuine. I saw it in the way he talked. I saw it in his eyes. And anyone trying to politicize it, saying, you know, he was exaggerating it because of politics or trying to play a victim. No, he was a victim here. His family was. His children were in this house. And if you look at the damage, it was extensive. This individual, this monster, tried to kill him and his family, including his children. And it gets no more abhorrent than that. Just like I will call out this numbnut running for attorney general in Virginia, Jay Jones, who said he wanted to see his opponent shot and his children die in his arms. Yeah, that's about as disgusting as you can get once you bring someone's children into it. And when I don't care what position you hold, I don't care what money you make, I don't care what your title is, I don't care. When you live through something that jeopardizes the safety of the ones you love most, closest to you, it does something to you. It does something to your core. So I hope this brings closure to the governor. I hope this individual gets the latter of this 25 to 50 years in prison. If he needs mental health, well, let him get it in there locked up for the rest of his adult life. But it was good to see at least the governor seemed to make strides, saying it was an ongoing process for him and his wife, but that this did, in fact, bring some closure to the event. And I wish nothing more than that for the governor and his family. It's something they're going to have to live with for the rest of their lives that will never go away. It'll always be in the back of their mind because this happened to them. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Oh, text messages never disappoint. the Jersey Devil said, Rob, you got to be crapping me. And he didn't say crapping. I would assume that means that this conversation where national park workers are essential and our active duty military are not. That's what I'm assuming he was talking about. I also had someone text in and always... Thank goodness that right-wing lunatic didn't succeed in his terrorist attack on our governor. I bet you truly believe that. And, hey, the more power to you for believing that. Wow. Also had a text message in somebody that has. I was attacked in my house by a guy that a friend brought to my house. The guy snapped out of nowhere, was crazy. Thank God I had a gun and was able to rack it and scare him off. 2 weeks later, he was arrested. And I found out he killed a few people. Yes, right here in NEPA, I got lucky. Wow, glad you're okay. Indeed. See, there's stories like that out there. And crazy stuff. So there was a post, there was a picture floating around on social media. There was a picture of a candidate's signs in the back of a Wilkes-Barre City Public Works vehicle. And the caption was, were they putting signs up or taking signs down? And that was the caption. And a lot of people didn't know, but I guess it gained some traction. And that picture is part of an article in the Times Tribune today where supporters of local political candidates are unknowingly or knowingly breaking local and state laws in efforts to get their candidates elected through the use of political signs. Lawn signs endorsing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Candidates for political offices are a common sight. Obviously, we know that here in Northeast Indiana, but the rules regulating where they can be are often broken. Last week, again, a reader spotted a Wilkes-Barre Department of Public Works pickup truck with lawn signs for Luzerne County Controller candidate Tim McGinley in the truck bed. City Administrator Charles McCormick said DPW's employees had removed the signs from a city-owned property when they went to Barney Farms Park to mow the grass and were transporting back to the DPW garage. Basically, what they're saying, the policy is if there are signs on county property, on city property, on city property, oftentimes they remove them, they bring them back to their DPW garage, and that candidate can pick up their signs at the garage. But if you're driving around and you see campaign signs in the back of a Wilkes-Barre City DPW truck, you have valid questions of why they're there. And I'm glad this was answered. And the answer is pretty reasonable. McCormick said political signs removed from city-owned property are stored at the DPW building in case the candidate wants them back. He said candidates are usually alerted if their signs are removed. City employees normally are not assigned to remove signs from city-owned property because manpower constraints. But Mayor George C. Brown administration will dispatch employees to respond to complaints, McCormick said. McGinley said that he was not notified of that his signs were removed, and he didn't know exactly who placed them in the city park. We have a few people doing that, McGinley said. So somebody supporting the candidate put signs in a place they shouldn't have put them, and that's the gist of this article. McGinley didn't respond directly to questions on whether those who were placing signs for him were instructed on where they can be and where they cannot be. I think you have to realize someone puts a sign or two and all of a sudden they're six. So I think it's what happened, McGinley said. They seem to grow in numbers. Really didn't answer the question. Pennsylvania election law doesn't regulate the placement of political signs in particular, but Pennsylvania Department of Transportation code that prohibits the placement of signs along roadways, and municipalities have their own code which regulate them. And basically, if you put them on private property, you should have the permission of those people that you're putting the signs on the property. So it does answer the question because it was floating around the internet, and a valid answer. So if you have political signs, they're not supposed to be in city parks based on the municipality. And if DPW comes across them, and of course, if they need to mow, they're going to remove them, throw them in the back of their truck, and bring them back to their DPW garage. Maybe like to see that ordinance modified to where if your signs are removed from a city park and they were placed there in violation, the signs should be destroyed. Because if you're just giving them back to the campaign and they could recycle them back out on the in the field, you're really not losing anything and there's no incentive to not put your signs there. If you lost your signs and they were destroyed after placing them in the city park, I think that would maybe be a deterrence to place them there to begin with, knowing that they're going to be removed and destroyed. So anyone in the ordinance realms out there, that might be something to think about, that if signs are illegally placed on your city property and you have an ordinance that says they shouldn't be, maybe those signs should be destroyed. And I'm glad this was answered because, again, it was floating around social media with a lot of innuendo. But valid questions. If you see campaign signs in the back of a city public works vehicle, you know, you're going to ask yourself, why are they there? And I'm glad it was answered. So it's 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Somebody texted in the show, your news report, gas prices dropping where? I just paid 40 cents more than last week for premium at Sam's. Diesel is up too. I just paid $2.98 a gallon yesterday, last night, on my way home at Sheets in Carbondale. And that's the lowest I've paid in 3 or 4 years. So that's all I can go by. It depends where you get it. Big change. The supermarket where I do my shopping, I think it was $3.19 a gallon. And again, the Sheets in Carbondale was $2.98 last night. So that's all I can go by. The proposed Luzerne County budget includes $381 million in expenses and a 1.9% tax hike. They just couldn't do 2%, right? 1.9 sounds better. So I guess it's a 1.9. They will allocate $381.1 million in expenditures and increase its property tax rate by 1.9, according to the proposed budget scheduled for introduction today at the county council meeting. County Manager Romilda Caracamo announced Thursday she's proposing a minimal 1.9% tax increase to address the current and future needs of the county. County Council must vote to approve the 2026 budget by December 15th. Note that term, the minimal 1.9% tax increase, because if you remember, the advisor for Lackawanna County, now this is Luzerne, but the advisor, the financial advisors for Lackawanna County said that after 2026, they need to think about minimal tax increases for the years after that. And 1.9 is reasonable. Anything between 1 and 3, I think, would stay with your cost of living increases. But when you build that up year after year after year after year, well, that starts to hurt people after 3 or 4 years. She said, we are proud to present a proposed budget that indicates our commitment to continue to obtain the credit rating that will allow future investment in infrastructure improvements and maintain much-needed services for our human services consumers, including older adults, children, families in crisis, mental health and drugs and alcohol needs, veterans, our emergency services, Caracamo said in a budget message to council. Our commitment and additional needs within the judicial branch continues to be a major driver of the budget proposed presented. The property tax rate is currently 6.3541 mils, which results in a tax bill of $635.41 on a property assessed at $100,000. The 1.9 tax increase amounts to less than $12 a year, or 96 cents a month, on a medium assessed home value of $95,500. That's the medium assessed home value in Luzerne County, $95,500. I find that hard to believe, but it may be. Property tax revenue is estimated at $128.3 million in the proposed 2026 budget, nearly $6.3 million more than the amount in this year's budget. The additional property tax revenue is due to tax increase, expected collection rates estimated at 92%, increased construction and reduction of tax abatements. 92% collection rate is really good. So kudos to Luzerne County for that. Total expenditures of the proposed budget is $381.1 million, $23.6 million less than total expenditures in 2025. Expenses paid with federal COVID-19 recovery funds totaled $17.35 million, $34.65 million less than this year's allocation. The American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 allocated $1.9 trillion to stimulate the economy during the COVID-19 pandemic, and Luzerne County received $113 million in ARPA funds. The federal government required a commitment to spend ARPA funds by December 31st, 2024, and the deadline to spend them is December 31st of 2026. The proposed general fund budget is $171 million, which would be about 2.2% increase. This year's general fund budget is $167.3 million. A lot of money getting thrown around there. And just know that there's no American Rescue Plan Act funds. There's no ARPA funds. And these entities, be it counties, be it cities, need to truly manage their budgets more responsibly now, not
have fungible cash, is what they call it. When you get an influx of ARPA and American Rescue Plan funds, it kind of frees up your budget. And if you aren't doing good financially after that influx of cash, tens and tens of millions of dollars, in some cases $100 million, how do you not do better financially? So any politician who touts how great they did the past 2 or 3 years financially is only telling you a little story because, again, that influx of federal cash that would made it almost impossible, except unless you're in Lackawanna County, to screw your budget up. It's 3:43 here at WILK. We'll be back. 3:47 here, 58 degrees on this Tuesday, October 14th. Welcome back to the show. Got a bunch of text messages on the gas prices. $2.98 at ShopRite in Daleville. That's the one texter posted in. Gas is $2.98 up in Covington Township at one station. Somebody asked if the $2.98 was for regular or that woke E85 stuff. No, that was regular gas. I don't put that in my vehicle. I don't think my vehicle could take that, the E85 stuff. But that was, yeah, regular gasoline. So, and listen, that's good for our area. I was paying that in Virginia. That was under $3 a gallon was normal in Virginia when I go down there. Again, we have the highest, one of the highest gas tax, if not the highest gas tax in the nation. Even when I was just down on the Jersey Shore, gas was under $3 a gallon. So, but yeah, I've, the two places that I get gas, it averages from $3.19 to $2.98. So headed over there. J.P. Morgan is looking to invest up to $10 billion in U.S. companies with crucial ties to national security. That's a good thing. The investment plan revealed Monday will focus in four areas: supply chain and advanced manufacturing and critical minerals, pharmaceutical precursors and robotics, defense and aerospace, energy independence with investment in battery storage and grid resilience, and strategic technologies including artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, and quantum computing. The investment is part of the bank's security and resilience initiative, a $1.5 trillion 10-year plan to facilitate, finance, and invest in industries critical national security. I was at an event for Jack Cittarelli, who's running for governor in New Jersey this past weekend, and I was with my friend, my good friend Colonel Tony Schaefer, who's a national security individual, and we were talking about the supply chain issues and shipbuilding and plane procurement and such, and we're just not there as a nation. We're not there at all. If there is a large-scale incident in the world, our ability to mass manufacture arms, be it vehicles, be it boats, be it planes. I mean, the reason we won World War II is because we were able to manufacture planes and ships and put personnel out there at a rapid pace, more so than any of our adversaries. And we don't have that now, so we rely more on technology. And we're lacking there as far as the infrastructure goes. So it's good to see J.P. Morgan putting its money where its mouth is, literally, and get behind the investment in these areas, because it's something that I identified in my The World's Greatest Navy special and something that still to this day is lagging behind. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's 3:54, coming up to the 4 o'clock hour. 58 degrees outside on this Tuesday, October 14th. The next story is kind of heartbreaking to talk about, but we need to. This needs to be an open discussion, an ongoing open discussion. But suicide claims more Gen Z lives than a previous generation. And again, if you or someone you know needs help, the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the U.S. is available by calling or texting 988. There's also an online chat at 988lifeline.org. So if you or someone you know needs help, that's a good resource to give them. But for Gen Z adults, the oldest of whom are now reaching their late 20s, suicide is taking more lives than 10 years ago when millennials were the same age, according to the state line analysis of federal death statistics. Experts disagree on the root causes of the growth of suicides, but they see a wave of untreated depression that can lead to suicidal thoughts, One of the effects all age groups after the Great Recession, but lingers on among young adults. Theories behind the increase range from bullying on social media, since Gen Z was the first generation to grow up with the internet, to economic despair, to cultural resistance, to seeking help for depression. I've seen a big turnaround just in my life, how it seems to be more open to get help for depression now. I mean, I've talked about it on this show over the past 2 years openly, and I think it's a more open dialogue than when I was in my 20s or 30s. But Gen Z suicides have continued at a fast pace this year, with 1,148 in January and February. The latest months available from the Federal Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, about the same as 2024, and the CDC bases its data on death certificates. Among those grappling with the crisis is Rodney Harris of the University of North Carolina School of Medicine, who has enlisted barbers and churches in his state to draw out stories of personal pain before they lead to suicidal crises. Harris is an associate professor in the school's Suicide Prevention Institute. That's a unique approach. I mean, churches, I understand, but barbers and people who that's a big conversation going on. And if they can flag someone who may need help now, would the client resist that person chiming in? I mean, that I could see that resistance. If the referral or the recommendation or the outreach is unwanted, does that just push the person away? But I like that this professor's thinking out of the box and enlisting barbers and churches to draw out stories. He's fighting a perception that you can shake off mental health issues on your own. The research tells us that we have to go find a live person to go to them, because if we don't, they get lost. And there's perception that if you're going to be strong and not complain about things, that can keep you away from treatment. And that is 100% true. I've told the stories, and it's not something – it's a chemical imbalance in your brain. It's not something you can control. I mean, at a time where even my wife looked at me and says, you know, you have nothing to be depressed about, but I remember looking at my kids from my upstairs bedroom, peeking through the blinds on a beautiful summer day, watching my kids when they were younger play outside, and just thinking to myself, you know, I don't want to go out there. All I wanted to do was stay in my room and sleep. All I wanted to do was stay away from everybody. That withdrawal, that inward. And it wasn't helping anything. And then I would have to consciously force myself to go sit outside and get an iced tea and sit in my rocking chair on my front porch and watch my children. Until I realized after an hour or so, I was like, wow, this is really nice. Let's continue. Let's go to the back deck now. And, you know, we'll get the barbecue on, or we'll put a fire on and we'll continue it. And that forcing myself over and over again, and that realizing that, you know, there is something going on that's making me recluse myself. And it took a lot of work to change that around. And I tell you, in the past 10 years, it's a total different vibe. And not that it was at the point where I wanted to harm myself or wanted to end anything. No, it was just I didn't want to deal with anybody. I didn't want to deal with anything. My life was work and then home. And when I was home, I just wanted to move away from everything. But until I realized that and I opened it up with my family and friends, it got better. So it's a bigger dynamic when you add social media and all the pressure that you have now in this open world that we live in because of these supercomputers we walk around with in our hand. But there is hope out there, and if you need to talk to someone, talk to them, because it will help. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.